Up. There's so many issues that have come up around the investment summit that is taking place at the Sandton Convention Centre today. And of course, one of the issues that constantly comes up when we talk about investment is Eskom. Are we going to be able to keep the lights on as we invite all these investors into the country, tell them to plough their millions into our economy, and promise them that all will be well when we don't really know what is going on? But the other issue, of course, is the Public Service Wage Bill. And this linked in a way to the Eskom story, because not so long ago, we were told by one of the senior board members at Eskom that there are 15,000 too many employees at the parastatal, and that's not the only organisation within the public service that appears to have a bloated workforce. So how exactly are we going to deal with this? Now, Kasatu's come out this afternoon and it says that Treasury must stop attacking public servants' right to a living wage. And we wanted to explore that a little bit more. We started actually speaking about it to Matthew Parks, the Kasatu parliamentary coordinator, just over a week ago, when the finance minister Tito Mboweni actually tabled his mini budget. But we wanted to have a more extensive conversation about this, time permitting, that will allow us to explore exactly what can be done in the public service to ensure that people do get their right to a living wage, but that it doesn't blow the budget, the very limited budget we now have as a country. Matthew Parks, thank you so much for joining us here on Afternoon Drive. You seem quite, in your words, irritated at what you say are the continuous attacks on public servants' right to earn a living wage.
Yes, thank you for having me. We are quite irritated. We've been actually raising issues with government for many years about the need to deal with wasteful expenditure, with corruption, with the wage gap, and especially with the bloated wages that politicians and managers earn. They've ignored us for many years, but we are glad that finally, you know, government has seen the light and realized that we're on a very serious fiscal crisis, an economic crisis. So we are quite willing to engage. We are pleased that the minister in his budget statement said he's going to come to engage with Labour at the Public Service Bargaining Council. But I think what frustrates public servants, and the majority of whom are nurses and teachers and police officers, prison officers and so on, is that they actually earn very little amount of money. Most public servants are quite in debt. Many of them can't even afford houses. But the wasteful expenditure is not at the service delivery level. It's on top. You've seen a ballooning of the management level of the public service to about 30,000. Those are people who earn more than a million and a half rand. We've seen huge amounts of wasteful expenditure. It is quite shocking that the minister said his government spends about 5 billion rand a year on cell phones. We've got 5 departmental head offices being built by government at a cost of 13 billion rand. So we're not seeing a real tackling of the wasteful expenditure in government. At the same time, the Auditor General tells us every year that we lose 10% of our budgets to corruption and wasteful expenditure. That's about 150 billion rand. So we really want to see government tackling the major elephants in the room. We speak about Eskom, where the debt levels in the past 10 years have jumped from 45 billion rand to 450 billion rand, half of which is because of the mismanagement and the looting that took place at Kusile and Madupi. So once you deal with the issue of the crisis in the state, let's deal with the real monsters in the state. But I think also what frustrates us is that we don't see much action to arrest those who have looted. We don't see much action to take back the stolen funds and the assets they've taken from the state. Even with Eskom, we agree we need to sort of Eskom, but you need to diagnose what's the bleeding, what money are we losing every month to wasteful expenditure, to corruption, so that you know where to plug the holes. And it's difficult for ministers to accept being attacked when the top management and politicians who have looted the state are not being dealt with.
You know, you make a very important point, and that is a reality in our country. But you're almost saying these two issues are mutually exclusive. That if there isn't action taken at a senior level, that it should not be taken at levels below that. We're sitting with a public service that comprises people who are cadres, people who are related to other people in the public service who don't have the skills to actually be doing their job. People have a daily reality, Matthew, where they walk into public service institutions and they don't get the help they need, whether we're talking about hospitals, whether we're talking about the South African Revenue Service, the Home Affairs Department. There are many people who are much too unskilled or much too negligent or much too lazy, to be honest, to be working in these public institutions. But they are taking up places in those institutions and they're not working the way they should be. Now we're given an example in Eskom, for example, of 15,000 people, too many, who are there. this is the reality, that Eskom does not need those additional 15,000 people who've made their way into the organization, even though they are not required there. What do we do about that reality?
Sure. Look, I think there's many issues there. So let me say the first issue is if a person doesn't do his job, management must do their job and deal with that person. There's no person in the country who is exempt from doing what they're paid to do, you know?
So are you saying that management responds by firing that person if they're not doing their job?
No, look, they have a comprehensive labor relations act where it provides for that you talk to the person, you counsel them, you give them a first warning, a second warning, a final warning, you know? Those are old laws, and management, which is also paid to manage companies or departments, but also performance work. That's part of our irritation at Eskom. They have a culture of paying management bonuses of millions of rands, yet those very same managers have run Eskom into the ground, you know? The persons who have mismanaged the state are not the teachers or nurses on the ground, it's the politicians, the directors general, the CEOs, and so on. But I agree with you 100% about the issue of relatives being appointed. We have deputy ministers who appoint each other's wives or girlfriends in cabinet. Nothing dealt with it. I think maybe also it's important to kind of get a bit of a picture. 37% of the wage bill is actually earned by top management. So that's to kind of give you a sense of the bloated nature on top. Currently, 128,000 public service posts are vacant. They're funded posts, but they're vacant. And a lot of those are critical service delivery posts of teachers, nurses, police officers, and doctors. And it's actually part of the thing that you alluded to, where you have a creaking of the public service capacity to deliver passports or IDs or birth certificates or to receive people at the charge office in the police stations or the learner-teacher ratio at the school. So you need to kind of deal with the vacancies. But we agree, you need to do it in a smart way. So you need to prioritize the teachers, the nurses, the police officers, and do away with the bloated management posts on top. But look, around the skills thing also, look, skills are something you need to invest in all the time because the technological advances in society are continuously on a daily basis. We have huge amounts of money allocated to the skills fund, to the CTAs, but it's not being used properly. So that we agree with, and that we're quite keen to see government investing in personnel skills development levels. Otherwise, you'll be left behind by technology and the economy and so on. Around the Eskom headcount, look, two things. One is that actually the headcount has decreased by about 2,000 in the past year through natural attrition vacancies. The other thing is also that we have a 40% unemployment rate in the country right now. We've got thousands of workers being retrenched every month across sectors of the economy. So we're not going to solve society's problems by retrenching or firing more workers. But we were quite pleased by the President and the Minister for Public Enterprises' commitments not to retrench workers, but to rather look at if there's a surplus of staff in one part of Eskom, say, generation, to redeploy them to where there's a shortage of staff in Eskom, say, distribution and transmission, or even to deploy them to municipalities, electricity departments where the skills are badly needed with the shortages of staff. Or, for example, you could even deploy them to public service where there is a shortage in the police and home affairs and so on. So you need to have that kind of smart kind of restructuring of the state in the SOEs. But look, it has to be done in the proper way. And look, when people have failed, like in SARS, those people must be held to account because they're actually putting the entire nation at risk by their mismanagement and their wrong behavior.
Right. Last quick question, Matthew, because I'm running out of time here. But the above inflation increases that have been given to public service members in the last few years, I mean, is it really a fair expectation with so many of them underperforming that they feel entitled to above inflation increases when many of them have not even met the basic requirements to actually be considered to be doing their jobs at a minimum level?
Well, look, part of the problem that Treasury has engaged in a bit of scaremongering tactics. The increases that public servants have received have always been inflation plus 1%, inflation plus 2%, and so on. And look, again, when you're a nurse earning 180,000 rand, you're really talking about hundreds of rand, not huge amounts. But the bloated nature really is at the top. So you have a nurse in one.
But Matthew, you've said that before. My question is not about that. My question is about people within the public service who are not doing their jobs, that have been lulled into the sense of complacency and security by being given increases when they don't deserve them.
Look, you have an increase because of inflation, and inflation hits those who earn little hardest. So Eskom inflation is averaging about 15-25%. Nurses are struggling to survive month end.
But why should that not be allocated why should that not be given on an incentive-based sort of scheme where if you have not performed, if you're a nurse who has ill-treated patients in your hospital, you do not qualify for an increase?
Yeah, look, is not the nurse who is the CEO of a hospital. It's not the nurse who doesn't allocate six nurses when that's the need and actually only allocates one nurse. It's not the doctor.
That's not my point, Matthew. You're missing the point completely. My point here is about individual responsibility. Matthew. So the nurse who abuses a patient, does he or she deserve an increase, a blanket increase every year? Because that is what you as the unions have been encouraging, even when your members are underperforming.
Yeah, but look, I mean, just also listen to me. A labor relations issue is a different issue. So if a nurse abuses a patient, management must discipline that person. There's a labor relations act in place. There's a code of conduct. They must be disciplined. That's very different than an increase for all public servants to deal with the cost of living, increases in inflation, and so on. So management has the right to discipline people who don't do their job. There's no question about that. We must ask, why is management not doing that? And those managers must be held to account by the DGs and the ministers.
All right, Matthew, thank you for speaking to us this evening. Matthew Parks is the Kasatu Parliamentary Coordinator.